Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjavya Jayo Radha Madhava Kunjavya Gopi Dana Vallabha Yirvana Dharya Gopi Dana Vallabha Yirvana Dharya Jasoda nanana Braja dana ranjana Jasoda nanana Braja dana ranjana Samunati ravanacharya Jamunati Ravanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihariya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihariya Gopi Dana Vallabha Yirvana Dharya Gopi Dana Vallabha Yirvana Dharya Jasoda Nanana Braja Dana Ranjana Yasoda nanana Braja dana ranjana Jamunati ravanacharya Jamunati ravanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihariya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavihariya Gopi Dana Vallabha Yirvana Dharya Gopi Dana Vallabha Yirvana Dharya Jasoda nanana Braja dana ranjana Jasoda nanana Braja dana ranjana Tamunati Avanacharya. Tamunati Avanacharya. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunda Vyarya. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunda Vyarya. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunda Vyarya.
Jayo Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvidakasharya Asadharya Sadushi Sriman His Divine Grace, Lacey, Bhakti Vedanta Swamiraj, Srila Prabhupada, Kijai, Gaur Premanande, and you all glorious to your own devotees, all glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, and all Vishnu, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiraj, Namaste, Namaste, Sarasatam Deve, Gauravani Vajarne, Devi Seisa, Srinivadi, Om Agyanativarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutle Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Didati Svapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Virjana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Rate Vrindavaneshri Vrishubhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sinuvyevacha Padidanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitana Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vastri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 8, Chapter 11, King Indra Annihilates the Demons. Text 12. Praharat Kulisham Tasmai Amogam Paramardana Sayana Nyapatat Bhumau Chinapaksha Iva Achala Praharat Kulisham Tasma Amogam Paramardana Sayano Nyapatat Bhumau Chinapaksha Ivachala Praharat Kulisham Tasma Amogam Paramardana Sayano Nyapatad Bhumau Chinapaksha Ivachala Arat Inflicted Kulisham
thunderbolt scepter. Tasmai unto him. Bali Maharaj. Amogam infallible. Paramardana Indra, who is expert in defeating the enemy. Suyana with his airplane. Yapatat fell down. Bhumau on the ground. Chinapaksha, whose wings have been taken away. Eva, like. Achala, a mountain. Translation, and this is short purport by Srila Prabhupada. When Indra, the defeater of enemies, actually we'll start with text number 9, I think we got up to. You demigods think that your own selves are the cause of your attaining fame and victory. Because of your ignorance, saintly persons feel sorry for you. Therefore, although your words afflict the heart, we do not accept them. Shukadeva Goswami said, after thus rebuking Indra, king of heaven, with sharp words, Bali Maharaj, who could subdue any other hero, drew back his ear to his ear arrows known as Narakas, and attacked Indra with those arrows. Then he again chastised Indra with strong words. Since Bali Maharaj's rebukes were truthful, Indra did not at all become sorry, just as an elephant beaten by its driver's rod does not become agitated. When Indra, the defeater of enemies, released his infallible thunderbolt scepter at Bali Maharaj with a desire to kill him, Bali Maharaj indeed fell to the ground with his airplane, like a mountain with its wings cut off. Purport. In many descriptions in Vedic literature, it is found that mountains also fly in the sky with wings. When such mountains are dead, they fall to the ground, where they stay as very large dead bodies. The rest of the chapter is just a description of the fight between Indra and the demons. There's hardly any purport, so this is more or less, we'll just read the rest of it. The next actual purport is the next chapter. When the demon Jambasura saw that his friend Bali had fallen, he appeared before Indra, the enemy, just to serve Bali Maharaj with friendly behavior. The greatly powerful Jambasura, carried by a lion, approached Indra and forcefully struck him on the shoulder with his club. He also struck Indra's elephant. This would make a good movie. Being beaten by Jambasura's club, Indra's elephant was confused and aggrieved. Thus it touched its knees to the ground and fell unconscious. Thereafter, Matali, Indra's chariot driver, brought Indra's chariot, which was drawn by 1,000 horses. Indra then left his elephant and got onto the chariot. Appreciating Matali's service, Jambasura, the best of the demons, smiled. Nonetheless, he struck Matali in the battle with a trident of blazing fire. Although the pain was extremely severe, Matali tolerated it with great patience. Indra, however, became extremely angry at Jambasura. He struck Jambasura with his thunderbolt and thus severed his head from his body. When Narada Rishi informed Jambasura's friends and relatives that Jambasura had been killed, three demons named Namuchi, Bala, and Paka arrived on the battlefield in great haste. Rebuking Indra with harsh, cruel words that were piercing to the heart, these demons showered him with arrows, just as torrents of rain wash a great mountain. Quickly handling the situation on the battlefield, the demon Bala put all of Indra's 1,000 horses into tribulation by simultaneously piercing them all with an equal number of arrows. Paka, another demon, attacked both the chariot with all its paraphernalia and the driver Matali by fitting 200 arrows to his bow and releasing them all simultaneously. This was indeed a wonderful act on the battlefield. Then Namuchi, another demon, attacked Indra and injured him with 15 very powerful golden-feathered arrows, which roared like a cloud full of water. Other demons covered Indra along with his chariot and chariot driver. with incessant showers of arrows, just as the clouds cover the sun in the rainy season. Must not always be so pleasant for Indra's chariot driver. The demons being severely oppressed by their enemies, being unable to see Indra on the battlefield, were very anxious. Having no captain or leader, they began lamenting like traitors in a wrecked vessel in the midst of the ocean. Purport. From this statement appears that in the upper planetary system there is shipping and that traders there engage in navigation as their occupational duty. Sometimes, as on this planet, these traders are shipwrecked in the middle of the ocean. It appears that even in the upper planetary system, such calamities occasionally take place. The upper planetary system in the creation of the Lord is certainly not vacant or devoid of living entities. From Srimad Bhagavatam we understand that every planet is full of living entities, just as Earth is. There is no reason to accept that on other planetary systems there are no living beings. Thereafter, Indra released himself from the cage of network of arrows, appearing with his chariot, flag, horses, and chariot driver, and thus pleasing the sky, the earth, and all directions. He shone effulgently like the sun at the end of night. Indra is bright and beautiful in the vision of everyone. When Indra, who is known as Vrajadhara, the carrier of the thunderbolt, saw his own soldiers so oppressed by the enemies on the battlefield, he became very angry. Thus he took up his thunderbolt to kill the enemies. O King Parikshit, King Indra used his thunderbolt to cut off the heads of both Bala and Paka in the presence of all their relatives and followers. In this way he created a very fearful atmosphere on the battlefield. O King, when Namuchi and other demons saw the killing of both Bala and Paka, he was full of grief and lamentation. Thus he angrily made a great attempt to kill Indra. Being angry and roaring like a lion, the demon Namuchi took a steel spear, which was bound with bells and decorated with ornaments of gold. He loudly cried, "Now you are killed." Thus coming before Indra to kill him, Namuchi released his weapon. O King, when Indra, King of Heaven, saw this very powerful spear falling towards the ground like a blazing meteor, he immediately cut it to pieces with his arrows. Then, being very angry, he struck Namuchi's shoulder with his thunderbolt to cut off Namuchi's head. Although King Indra hurled his thunderbolt at Namuchi with great force, it could not even pierce his skin. It was very wonderful, and the famed thunderbolt that had pierced the body of Vrishasura could not even slightly injure the skin of Namuchi's neck. When Indra saw that the thunderbolt returned from the enemy, he was very much afraid. He began to wonder whether this had happened because of some miraculous superior power. Purport. Indra's thunderbolt is invincible, and therefore when Indra saw that it had returned without doing any injury to Namuchi, he was certainly very much afraid. Indra thought, formerly, when many mountains flying in the sky with wings would fall to the ground and kill people, I cut their wings with the same thunderbolt. Vrishasura was the essence of the austerities undergone by Tvasta, yet the thunderbolt killed him. Indeed, not only he, but also many other stalwart heroes, whose very skin could not be injured even by all kinds of weapons, were killed by the same thunderbolt. But now, although the same thunderbolt has been released against a less important demon, it has become ineffectual. Therefore, although it is good as a Brahmastra, it has now become useless like an ordinary rod. I shall therefore hold it no longer. Sukadeva Goswami continued, while the morose Indra was lamenting in this way, an ominous, unembodied voice said from the sky, "This demon Namuchi is not to be annihilated by anything dry or moist." The voice also said, "O Indra, because I have given this demon the benediction that he will never be killed by any weapon that is dry or moist, you have to think of another way to kill him." Anyone have any ideas? You weren't the unembodied voice, were you? After hearing the ominous voice, Indra, with great attention, began to meditate on how to kill the demon. He then heard a voice from the audience. he then saw that foam would be the means, for it is neither moist nor dry. Thus Indra, king of heaven, severed Namuchi's head with a weapon of foam, which was neither dry nor moist. Then all the sages satisfied Indra, the exalted personality, by showering flowers and garlands upon him, almost covering him. In this regard, the Shruti Mantras say, Apam Banena Namuche Shira Indra Daryat. Indra killed Namuchi with watery foam, which is neither moist nor dry. Vishvasu and Paravasu, the two chiefs of the Gandharvas, sang in great happiness. The kettle drums of the demigods sounded, and the apsaras danced in jubilation. Vayu, Agni, Varuna, and the other demigods began killing the demons who opposed them, just as lions kill deer in a forest. O king, when Lord Brahma saw the imminent total annihilation of the demons, he sent a message with Narada, who went before the demigods to make them stop fighting. The great sage Narada said, all of you demigods are protected by the arms of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by his grace you have gotten the nectar. By the grace of the Goddess of Fortune, you are glorious in every respect. Therefore, please stop this fighting. Sukadeva Goswami said, accepting the words of Narada, the demigods gave up their anger and stopped fighting. Being praised by their followers, they returned to the heavenly planets. Following the order of Narada Muni, whatever demons remained on the battlefield took Bali Maharaj, who was in a precarious condition, to the hill known as Ashtagiri. There on that hill, Shukacharya brought to life all the dead demoniac soldiers who had not lost their heads, trunks, and limbs. He achieved this by his own mantra known as Sanjivani. Bali Maharaj was very much experienced in universal affairs. When he gained his senses and memory by the grace of Shukacharya, he could understand everything that had happened. Therefore, although he had been defeated, he did not lament. Purport. It is significant that Bali Maharaj is said here to be very experienced. Although defeated, he was not at all sorry, for he knew that nothing can take place without the sanction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since he was a devotee, he accepted his defeat without lamentation. As stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhagavad Gita 2:47, karma nyeva dikaraste mapaleshu kadachana. Therefore, in Krishna consciousness, everyone in Krishna consciousness should execute his duty without regard for victory or defeat. One must execute his duty as ordered by Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master. Anukul yena Krishna anu shilanam bhakti uttama. In first-class devotional service, one always abides by the orders and will of Krishna. That's in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 11th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled King Indra Annihilates the Demons. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Vudai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramani Namaste Saraswatam Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Siddharne. Some of the things that one can learn by reading this chapter is, one, is that there are living beings on other planets, and some of them are superior to human beings. But generally in this material world, it is the same activities of eating, sleeping, and because of that, sex life and defending. And even if one goes to the planet of the demigods, it is not simply a peaceful life, no problem. As we can see in the life of Indra, he's constantly engaged in warfare because there's some passion in him. He's constantly trying to defend the heavenly planets against the demons. And sometimes he's successful, and sometimes he's not successful. But his life also, although there's superior sense gratification on the heavenly planets, his life is full of anxiety. Therefore, if one thinks that by executing devotional service I can go to the heavenly planets, that type of understanding is not perfect, because one will not achieve happiness in the heavenly planets either. Whatever one thinks he gets in the material world, the next thing he thinks about is how he's going to lose it. And therefore he tries to defend it in some way or another, but ultimately in the course of time, everyone is annihilated. It is said that the universal form devours everything just like one eats a sandwich. Arjuna, he wanted to fight in the battlefield, didn't want to fight in the battlefield. But Krishna said that even if you don't fight, everyone will be devoured by my Kala Rupa. Similarly, whatever position we obtain in the material world is temporary, and therefore, those who are elevated devotees, they say it is not worth the effort to attain something temporary. That one should strive for something which will give one permanent benefit, rather than waste one's time getting something temporary. And the other is, therefore, persons like Bali Maharaj, who have spiritual understanding, they're not at all aggrieved when they become successful, or they're not elated when they're successful, and they don't aggrieve when they have problems. As it says in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna doesn't ask one always to be successful. He says that one should do his duty. Sukha-dukhe samekritva. Avalavo jayadriyo, tato yu daya yu jasva, naivam papam avapsyasi. Do you fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness and distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by so doing you shall never incur sin. Therefore, if one takes shelter of Krishna in Krishna consciousness and acts dutifully for him, probably gives the example, just like a person may work in a bank, and although he counts millions of dollars, he doesn't consider one penny as being his own. As soon as he thinks, well, I've been working in the bank for such a long time, so let me take at least a little share of the money. But at once he becomes criminal, because nothing that he's working with actually belongs to him. Similarly, although we have a right, as Krishna says, karma nyeva dikaraste, ma paleshu kadachana, ma kama palahetu arbor, ma te stanga sukarmani. Although we have a right to perform our prescribed duty, but we shouldn't think that I'm supposed to get the result. This is difficult for the conditioned soul to appreciate. But the fact is that we're neither the owner of the body, nor is it our energy which is moving the body, nor does anything in the material world belong to us. Everything belongs to Krishna. So although one has a right to do his service, whatever his service is meant for, just like Arjuna, Krishna did not tell Arjuna to renounce work. He said, your adhikari, your eligibility is that you should work. Therefore, one should work, but one should not be attached to the results of one's activities. That the work itself, if it's done in Krishna consciousness, the reward is the fact that we're doing the activity in Krishna consciousness. That's the benefit that we get, the fact that we're able to think of Krishna while we're doing the work. The result of the work, if we become attached to the result, then we have to also take another material body to enjoy or suffer the result. But another material body means another experience of different types of suffering. But the conditioned soul, although he's searching for happiness, he thinks that gradually he's making progress towards happiness, but actually he's just going and around just like a dog chasing after his tail. The quicker he goes around, the quicker his tail goes, and he never gets it. Or the other example is the ass with the carrot right in front, strung in front of him, thinking one more step and I'll get the carrot. The conditioned soul is thinking one more gain, and I'll become happy. But no matter how much one gains, one finds himself in the same miserable condition. As a matter of fact, the more one gains, the more one becomes anxious about losing it. So the more one has, the more he winds up in anxiety. If one does book distribution and goes to wealthy people's houses, then generally it's very hard to get in. They have, at least in America, they have dogs at the gate, and they're always barking. And if they don't have a dog, then you have to ring the doorbell. They say, go away, or else we'll call the police. Or else their building is locked and no one can get in. That, because they're completely in anxiety, that someone's coming to steal what I have. Someone's coming to take it away. Just like if one has one automobile, so much anxiety, how to protect the automobile, how to protect the car, how to maintain it, how to pay for it. If one's driving on the road, who's going to crash into me? So many problems. And if one has two cars, then he has twice as many problems. The person who doesn't have anything, he may be envious of someone who has something, and someone who has a whole lot of things, he's simply in anxiety. And therefore, indirectly, or generally, or sometimes, they think about how nice it would be to renounce everything I had and live peacefully. Just like the example is given of Vanasura with his 1,000 arms, that although he had asked Lord Shiva for the benediction of fighting against Lord Shiva said, don't worry about fighting with me, because Vanasura was always in anxiety. That here I am, I go around, I challenge everyone in the universe, and everyone flees from me because they're afraid of me. Therefore, I cannot fight with anyone, so I simply uselessly pound my hands against the mountains and I break them to little pieces. But Lord Shiva said, don't worry, that soon there'll come a personality and he'll smash your pride to pieces and your flag of victory will no longer fly. And at hearing this, Bhanasura became very happy. Because generally, those who are in a demoniac mentality, getting some power or some opulence, they're looking forward for the day when someone will come with superior power and take it away from them, to free them from their anxiety. Prabhupada gives the example of Mahatma Gandhi, that even after he got, even there was independence of India from Britain, still he thought, I've lost everything. Everything I wanted has not been achieved. But although India has become independent, still there was Muslim-Hindu division. No one took his words seriously about living simply. There his own men were fighting with each other. Therefore, even one gets so much in the material world, still one winds up disappointed. And then Prabhupada said his only desire was, now I'm looking forward to dying. And even after doing so much service to his country, his own countrymen killed him, not appreciating it. So in the material world, one may work very hard, trying to get so much, and at the end, neither one is satisfied, nor are the people for whom one works so hard for, nor are they satisfied. Therefore, it's suggested not to work for material reasons, but one should work and dedicate his activities to Krishna to develop Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there could be no benefit. And if one works in that way, even if from the external point of view, one seems to be defeated, but actually he's successful. And if one works for material success, but he has no Krishna consciousness, and he becomes materially successful, but without Krishna consciousness, then he's said to be defeated by the mode of ignorance. Paravastavira bodha jato yavan dan jignasita atmatatvam yavan kriyastavati damano vai karmatmakam reina sharira bandaha. One may get material opulence, but the very process by which he gets the material opulence, if it's not according to the Vedic literature, if it's not following the laws of nature, will degrade one, and then the ultimate result is that one takes the degraded species of life in his next birth. Therefore, one has to be very careful. One has to know what one's goal is. Just like if one is a pilot in an airplane, he has to know what his goal is, otherwise it's very dangerous. So one should know clearly what the goal of life is and not be lamenting over unnecessary things nor hankering for unnecessary things. One should simply fix his mind on the goal and judge what is good and what is not good by whether one is actually attaining the goal, not whether one is being so-called materially successful and unsuccessful. So Bali Maharaj, he's intelligent, he understands that. He's just been almost killed by Indra, but he doesn't lament. He realizes this is all arranged by Krishna, and he simply goes on with his service. So ultimately we'll find that Bali, with this mentality, that although Vamanadeva will come and take everything away from him, but because of his devotional attitude, he obtains Vamanadeva's association eternally. While it's never mentioned that Indra, with all his gain and all his opulence, ever really gets Krishna's or Vishnu's association eternally. So Bali Maharaj is ultimately the winner, because whatever he does is in Krishna consciousness. And Indra, although he's temporarily the winner, and he has some connection with Vishnu, ultimately he's defeated because no one knows where Indra is now. Whether he's a human being or a demigod or whatever happened to him, it's not mentioned. It never says that Indra goes back to Godhead. So we'll stop there. Are there any questions? Yes. Well, there are some that are immovable, and there's some that are flying, paksha. So, they fall somewhere. When they're flying, they fall into the category of moving, like the birds. And when they, so, somewhere there. Yeah. I never mentioned that he ate people. Well, he may have asked them, he may have preached to them not to eat meat, but I guess they didn't listen to him. Shishi Radha Gopinath, Lalita Vishaka Kijai. Yeah, there's varieties of modes of nature. Sometimes one may be put in a position where he may be obligated, just like one is born in a certain family in a certain circumstances, and he's given the position, then he does his duty. So although, just like Prahlad Maharaj is also born in his family, he became the leader of the demons. We can't say that Prahlad Maharaj was a demon, because he was the leader of the demons. Therefore, he undoubtedly gives them good instructions, just like he gave Indra good instructions, and some of them may become elevated because of that. But he's responsible for them. Therefore, he does his duty. Of the divider. Sometimes. No, obviously, but if it gets too much, then they want to get rid of it. Dharma, kama, dharma, artha, kama, and then moksha. They get disgusted with it and they want to give it up. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Where does this battle take place? Which
planet? I'm not so sure about this one. Where this one? But different places. Sometimes on the shore of the ocean of milk. Different places. Yes. No, it doesn't mean that. You can do any one of the processes or all of them. Depends upon how dedicated you are to Krishna. It's not that by doing any one of them you achieve the results of all of them. It's not that Prahlad Maharaj didn't surrender everything to Krishna. But he did it. He surrendered he didn't have anything to surrender to Krishna. When you were boiling a pot of oil, the only thing you can do, he did it by remembrance. The only thing you can do is chant and remember. Shukadeva Goswami, he was completely surrendered. But he obtained perfection by speaking the Bhagavatam. Pariksha Maharaj obtained perfection by hearing. So it's how they attain perfection, not whether they're more advanced or less advanced. Once you become perfect, you're equally advanced. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, we are, it's not like we'd be moving mountains here, so they are lifting up at night.
Well, if there were some around here, they got their wings cut off for it. There's things here that may be existent, we just don't see them. Just like there are timangal fish in the ocean, they swallow whales, but we don't see them, that's all. And maybe if there's some ship that saw it and reported it, everyone thought they were all intoxicated. It wasn't accepted. There are things that are extraordinary, but we can't. And on the other hand, it's not that everything is on this planet. So it may be that they only fly on the higher planetary systems. It's not that all the 8,400,000 species are on this planet. They're all over the universe. And according to the modes of nature that the people are situated in, according to the modes of nature, they're on different planets. Well, first we develop hearing and chanting. Then by hearing and chanting, as far as friendship goes, you know, they're divided into different ways in Prabhupada's books, the nine processes. Some are considered to be eligible for Vaidhi Bhakti, and some are considered to be, one has to have the eligibility of Raganuga Bhakti. So Arjuna, he's considered the hero or the leader of friendship. So for us, generally, there's not so much an emphasis on developing our relationship with Krishna through friendship. Generally, we have to start with servitorship and work our way up. So our Prabhupada said that material world generally means perversion of dasya rasa, servitorship. So first we have to develop our service attitude. Then after that, then there's some question of you can develop friendship with Krishna. On the other hand, as far as the ordinary dealings, one should be friendly, favorable towards Krishna's activities. Friendly, just like it says that one can also be friendly with the guru. He should have firm friendship with the guru. But that doesn't mean familiarity. Yes. They have to do some. You mean to come to the Hare Krishna movement? I don't know. They take their birth eventually. How do they become? They have to ask for it. They have to desire it. Exactly what kind of? And the heavenly planets, generally, they're in the mood of enjoyment. But if they want something, if they actually sincerely want it, and they do something to gain it, whatever it is, because they have their spiritual master there too, Brihaspati. So you can tell them how to do it. No. One can also go back to the spiritual world through of course the demigods are also human beings, through the higher planetary systems. Just like with Brahma as a pure devotee, those who follow him, they also are liberated and go back to the spiritual world. Brihaspati lives for a long time.
But Indra, the name of people taking the heavenly throne.
Yeah, right now his name is Brihaspati. I don't know what is the list of all the different names of the spiritual masters, but now he's Brihaspati. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Gaur.